When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah, poison. That's right. 2:05, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 2 hours down, three more left to go in our five-hour midnight ride on this Tuesday morning, this eventful Tuesday morning as the Knicks take down the 76ers, move up 2-0 in the series as they head to Philadelphia for Thursday's Game 3. The Islanders blow a 3-0 lead against Carolina, and they are now 0-2 as they come home for Thursday night's game against Carolina. They're looking to get back into the series, but blow a 3-0 lead as they were sitting on it doing nothing the entire, you know, half second half and of the second period and third period. Just brutal loss for the Islanders. A great win for the Knicks and a tough loss for the 76ers. They had some things to say in the post game. So let's take a listen. We can all listen together. You watch the game. Let's see if we agree with what they had to say. And apparently, there's still some of them are still pretty confident. Although, if you watch the videos, Embiid's so tired he could barely pick up his head to look at the reporters when he answers these questions. He's got his head in his hand. But let's hear from Embiid first. He had a couple of different things to say. You can play them in any order. Let's just hear what Embiid had to say in the postgame.
I hate to put the game on them. But I'm sure the two-minute report is going to come out and, you know, we're going to see, you know, what happened. But, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable. Yeah, that's not on them. That's not on any of us. We fought for 47 minutes and whatever, 20 seconds. And for that to happen, that's not okay. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But with a better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Oh, is that all? So you got screwed, and you're the better team, and you're going to win. Okay. What a lame, how about some accountability? How about the idea that you blew the game?
I'm sure the two-minute report will come out, and that's unacceptable.
What's unacceptable? We all watched it. What happened there that's unacceptable? Did someone get slapped in the face and I was unaware of it? And then to come out after that performance and blowing the game and choking, which, by the way, is kind of your thing and what you're known for best. You're known for two things, the process and gagging away playoff series. But, okay, you're going to win. He has guaranteed it. He has pulled a Mark Messier. He has pulled a Joe Namath. Embiid is out front of this, guaranteeing a victory after losing the first two games at the Garden, heading home to Philadelphia, down 0-2 after a brutal loss where the Knicks stole it from them. And listen, there's no other way to look at it. The Knicks stole the victory. Like, they had this game won, and the Knicks stole it with 40 seconds left. That's fair. But they blew it. They did it to themselves. And it doesn't sound like the coach wants to admit that either. What did Nick Nurse have to say after the postgame?
They score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, yeah, I don't know, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it. He saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure. And I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the problem. We all looked at the film. And Twitter has put out the film. And we see him not calling a timeout. If he goes back and looks at it during, and he talked about
You know, first of all, this is all just so stupid. He goes after the postgame. Instead of saying we needed to handle that better, it's I called timeout and they didn't see it. I guess I need to make a spectacle of myself and run out on the court. Otherwise, I'm not going to be seen. Instead of just saying, yeah, we need to handle that inbounds better. The game's on the line and we didn't execute. No. God forbid you say that. No. The referee didn't see me. And if you watch the replay, and it's on Twitter. I had it before. I remember what it looked like, so I don't have to go back and see it. But it's on Twitter. During the inbound, he puts his hands up as to almost call a timeout. Typically, when you call a timeout, you bang your hands together. You got the flat hand in your left. You got the perpendicular hand in your right, and you bang it. You bang it. He's standing there with his hands separated with one hand flat and one hand perpendicular, but he does not bang it to signal timeout. He's standing there waiting.
Clearly getting ready to call it in case there's a violation.
Right, in case it gets to within 5 seconds.
Two apart, and you see the look on his face when he pulls back, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like,
and then when the ball's inbounded, he pulls his hands back as to not call a timeout because then the ball's inbounded.
And, like, does the hands up, like, yep, nothing here.
Not doing it. But he's getting ready to call a timeout, does not. Pulls his hands back when the ball is inbounded. Then Maxey is on the floor. Maxey's on the floor for half a second before he tries to make a pass, which leads to the turnover. By the time Nick Nurse, and he absolutely does, he turns to the referee and starts calling timeout. By the time he does that, the ball is loose on the ground, and he no longer has rights to call a timeout. I'm sure the referee did see him. It was no longer in the 76ers' possession to call a timeout. So they can complain about a foul, and I guess the two-minute report will come out and say. They can complain about a lot of different things. Nick Nurse has absolutely no right to complain that he called the timeout. Multiple times, he claims. I tried to call a timeout during the inbound, and then I tried to call a timeout when it was on the floor, and he didn't see me. I guess I need to make more of a spectacle of myself. No, sir. You did kind of run on the floor, and I'm sure the referee saw you. But during the inbound, you did nothing but prepare to call a timeout. Then you pulled your hands back when the ball was inbounded, and then you assumed Maxey was going to hold on to the ball longer than he did, but he tried to pass it almost immediately, and by the time you signaled to the referee that you wanted a timeout, it was a loose ball. The 76ers and Nick Nurse have absolutely no leg to stand on in the claim that a timeout was not seen. Maxey should have held on to the ball and tried to call a timeout. That's what he should have done. He should not have tried to pass it on while he was laying down through the legs of a defender. That was the mistake. Hold on to the ball and call a timeout, or give your coach, which he would have, the opportunity to call a timeout for you while you have possession of the basketball. Instead, he threw the ball away. And before any timeouts could be called, it was a loose ball. Now, apparently Maxey addresses this. Let's hear some sound from Tyrese Maxey.
Could you just take us through your vantage point? That last scramble, obviously,
the offensive rebound and coming back out with a turnover. Just got a rebound. I can't turn the ball over. I can't lose the ball, and then we got to get the rebound.
Okay. I mean, he made no excuses, at least. He said he's got to make the rebound. He didn't say I should have called timeout or I should have held on to the ball longer. But
I mean, in Philly Sixers terms, that's the most accountability that's a person could possibly take.
No question. That's the I got to do better. At least he gave you the I got to do better. Because Embiid gave you the referees got to do better and we're going to beat them. And Nick Nurse said the referees are blind. I was calling a timeout. At least Maxey did say I got to execute better. Which, by the way, I think Maxey handled the last few seconds of this game just horribly. He absolutely should have called a timeout. I have no problem with going to the basket and trying to get a layup. He was doing that at will almost all game, or really all series so far. But then at the end of the game, he's dribbling up, and I know it wasn't an easy shot. It wasn't a great look. He's about 5 or 6 feet behind the line, But he's hit that multiple times in this game, and instead he just throws it to an Embiid who's covered, standing just as far behind the line as he is. What is Embiid going to do with that? So I thought he should have called a timeout when the ball was on the floor, and he had no business giving up the basketball there. That's his shot. That's his shot. They need a three. That's his shot. I have no idea why he gave it up. But at least he took some accountability, because it sounds like a bunch of bitching and crying from the 76ers. That's what you've got. And that's what happens when you lose two games. You probably should have won. Clearly last night, certainly, should have won. But you choked it away. You did not call a timeout during the inbound process. Maxey, I don't think, was overtly fouled where it needs to be overturned or called. He threw the ball away almost immediately because I guess he thought he had some angle to get the ball out of his hands. And instead, it was a turnover. And once the ball is loose out of his hands, the coach can no longer call a timeout. And that's when he tried to. So it's a bunch of complaining. It's a bunch of nonsense. And then to come out and guarantee victory while you're hobbling all over the place. Okay. And I don't typically believe in bulletin board fodder. In fact, I mocked it at the beginning of the series and talked about the idea, oh, okay, so they're going to get on Celebrity Row. I'm sure that's really going to piss people off. Or, oh, okay, they're going to say they'd rather have played the Knicks than Boston. I think that's fair on some level. Plus, it's a bit role player who hasn't done anything in this series who said it. But when the star player who just lost two games comes out and says they're the better team, despite losing both games, they're the better team, and they're going to win four of the next five. That's what Embiid just said. They are going to win four of the next five games. I'm hoping the Knicks take that personally. I'm hoping Jalen Brunson takes that personally, that he thinks he has the balls, that Embiid has the balls to come off that floor at the Garden, losing a choke job and being down 0-2, has no problem saying they're the better team, which, by the way, they are not. Because they're a two-man team with one of them on one leg. And yet they were in position to win the game because of how the Knicks played and how their superstar played. If Brunson's himself and plays his normal brand of basketball, these games aren't close. So I hope the Knicks, this is the guarantees are the kind of fodder you can take. This isn't heading into one game. This isn't even the Super Bowl as a whatever. What were they? A 20-point underdog against the Colts in Super Bowl III? Or, you know, down as the favorite against the upstart Devils, saying he'll win game six. I don't even think he guaranteed the series. He just guaranteed game six. To guarantee four of the next five wins against a team that just beat you twice? Now it's personal. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Yo, C-Mac, I always tell you, you're my Yankees guy, man. But listen, I'm fired up right now because before you guys even brought up the post game with Embiid, you know, his coach, who's supposed to be a great coach, right? But I guess Kawhi Leonard just makes everybody look that good. Mm-hmm. Because this is the reason why the Knicks are winning, C-Mac, because we're outplaying them and we're literally outgritting them, mm-hmm, and outharding them, literally and figuratively outharding them, right? And we're outcoaching them too. Tibbs get killed all the time. But this guy, Nick Nurse, didn't call for, he didn't play the foul game last game when there was still plenty of time left, right? And today, he didn't call a timeout. He half-assed it. So he is he said he should make a spectacle of himself. Well, I think he did. He looks like such a moron, and so does Embiid. And the fact that they filed a grievance or intend to, listen, as a Knicks fan, I was hoping the Knicks would. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they get every single call. He launches himself into our defenders, kicking them in the groin and everything else last game. And they're calling those fouls that supposedly in the second half of the season they're not supposed to call, and Jalen Brunson never gets. So, like, if anything, we should be filing a grievance. Thank God we're up 2-0, but they were joke, man. And I appreciate you taking my call and letting me get this off my chest. I can't stand Joel Embiid. No excuses, dude. You're now going from second round Embiid to first round and out.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's and thank you for the call, Ray. I appreciate it and I appreciate the passion. I hope that, listen, let's hope they are first round and out. And I don't know. He's been soft at times and they've lost series they should have won. He's also been banged up in some way or another every time he's gotten into the postseason. And to be honest, I mean, he grits this thing out to, I think it was 33 points. He's hobbled. I mean, the guy, every time you look over, if there's a second and they pan to him of downtime or timeout or just, you know, I don't know, waiting for a side out of bounds play or something, and they cut to him, he's literally bent over at his, you know, and resting, like he'd taken an, I mean, he's just hobbled. He could barely run, but he's still playing pretty damn well offensively. He scores 34 points in the game. He's 8-for-12 from the foul line, 2-for-9. I mean, Embiid took 9 3-pointers. 12-for-29 from the field, and he scores 34 points. Maxey had 35. I mean, they're a two-man show. Maxey 35 and Embiid 34. The next highest scorer is Harris with 10. Lowry had 8. Oubre has 4. Batum has 6. 2 3-pointers. That's it. I mean, that's a two-person team, and one of them's hobbled. But I'll give him credit. Before, I don't want to get too much on him. I think it's ridiculous to be guaranteeing victories. We'll see. Maybe he'll turn out to be prophetic, and it'll be the turning point of their postseason here. But I think it's soft to get beat like that and then come out and declare, you know, you're gonna win the series. But I have to admit, he's out there hobbled, scoring 34 points. My man Rocco, what's going on, Rocco in Saratoga?
How you doing, my buddy? How you doing? Hey, I'm doing great. The Knicks won again. Another close, tight game. That was exciting at the end.
Exciting? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Oh, was it exciting. And they came back there. I said, oh, damn, with less than a minute. Are they going to be able to do it? What do they got to do? And they did it. And they did it. And Philly needs to stop crying. Embiid is no Joe Namath. Give me a break. Oh. Joe Willie Namath.
Once I invoked the name of Joe Willie, you had to call, didn't you, Rocco?
Yeah, absolutely. You know he's my man.
I know.
Come on. 18 points. That was what it was, not 20.
And they were an 18-point underdog?
18 points. Yeah, 18-point. The largest ever in Super Bowl history. 18-point dogs. And Joe Willie guaranteed.
Wish I could go back and put a little money on the Cubbies.
And he backed it up.
Yeah, well, he certainly did.
That's the difference. Embiid is not backing it up. No way, no how, okay? And you got to give him credit going out there. He's hurt. He played as much as he could, but we're damn better than you, Philly. Stop crying. And Maxey there, he pulled a reverse Chris Webber. Remember Chris Webber back in the day called timeout when they had no timeout, right?
Of course. Left.
Now, Maxey didn't call a timeout when he should have called a timeout.
Right.
All right? Yeah.
And yeah, Nick the Nurse, reverse Chris Webber.
That's right. Reverse Chris Webber. And Nurse, what a crybaby, baby. He annoyed the hell out of the officials from the beginning of the game. He was out of the coach's box, on their backs, on every call. And he's going behind them trying to look at the replay. And no, that's not a foul. Or, yeah. Oh, that was a, you know? Come on. The officials got tired of his nonsense. They told him to stay in his box and coach. And not tell us how to ref, okay?
Yeah,
there you go.
You got it, Rocco. Thank you for the call. I didn't think he was any more assertive than we've seen. Thibodeau be. I just think now he's bitching. And the timeout thing, again, I've watched the video again. Go watch the video. It's on X if you want to find it. He does not call a timeout during the inbound. He has his hands hovering over his head, but he doesn't. Then he pulls his hands back as almost to say, oh, I didn't want to call a timeout. Once he pulls his hands back the way he did, he's got no right claiming a timeout during the inbound process. Then he does try and call a timeout once the ball had already been. He doesn't see it because he turns to the referee. The ball is not in Maxie's hand. Maxie threw the ball away. Can't call a timeout with a loose ball rolling around the floor. Maxie made a mistake. And it's a bunch of bitching and complaining. But apparently the 76ers aren't the only one. Somebody else not even involved in the game had to jump in.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It's their 27th World Championship. The most of any team in any sport in the history of professional sports.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so a lot of people, I guess, are bitching and complaining. So I guess a lot of people are complaining, including LeBron James, who missed a shot at the end of the game that led to his team losing game two to the Denver Nuggets, 101-99. He missed a shot, and they come down the floor, and he might have missed, but Murray did not. As Jamal Murray hits a buzzer beater to beat the Lakers and send that series to LA, 2-0 over the Lakers. But at the end of the game, LeBron had complaints about the officiating for his game and complained about what's going on with the official reviews and who's looking at this stuff, and it makes no sense. It doesn't make sense to me. A lot of people are complaining. Nobody seems to be happy. Every single game, it's never what we did. It's never what's going on. They blow a 20-point lead. They were up 20 points in this game. And they lose on a buzzer beater, 101-99, to the defending Denver Nugget champion. And he's complaining about the referees and the reviews. And just for good measure, he decided to throw his nose and his two cents into what happened at the Garden last night. Here's LeBron postgame.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
What the hell does that mean? Wait! Someone ask a follow up. What do you mean? What happened at the end of the Knicks Sixers game? You're talking about how Maxie threw the ball to Embiid for a three? I have no idea what he was doing either. What do you mean? What happened at the end of the Knicks Sixers game, LeBron? What are we talking about? I don't know what he's referring. Is he saying there was obviously a foul? I guess that's what he's saying. I guess he agrees with Embiid that there was a foul at the end of that game. This is playoff basketball. You could not inbound. the ball was kind of being jumbled about. You fell to the floor with control of the basketball. Call a timeout. You threw the ball away. Stop making excuses. At least Maxey doesn't. But now even LeBron has to make excuses for the 76ers. What does LeBron care? Focus on your own game and your own crying and complaining, which you do just fine all by yourself. You blow a 20-point lead. Well, I don't know what we're doing with the officiating. I don't know what we're doing with the replays. Get out of here. Come on, LeBron. You're too good for this crap. You missed a shot. You missed the shot. You had a chance to win the game. You missed a three. And then Jamal Murray came down and stuck it to you. Now, obviously, I didn't see all the ins and outs of that game. I don't know the travesties that took place against the Lakers. I'm sure there were several trying to do a radio show. But LeBron James misses 24-foot three-point pull-up jump shot at 99-99. Michael Porter Jr., defensive rebound. Jamal Murray makes 15-foot two-point shot with 0.1 seconds left. Game over. Crybaby. All these crybabies. 877-337-6666. Back to the calls. Dan in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, T-Mac?
What's up, bud?
Doing good. I'm glad you brought that last point up. I'm so sick of these guys, whether it's the MLB, NBA, you know, Nick Nurse, Aaron Boone. I don't care who you are, LeBron James. All they do when things don't go their way, they just blame the referees. They blame the officiating. The leagues really have to get together and do something about this, especially with all this money being, you know, bet nowadays and, you know, leagues partnering with these betting sites. It's making a mockery of the game, all these guys complaining when something doesn't go their way.
I agree with, you know, some of it. What does the betting have to do with the players and coaches complaining about the referee?
Well, if you have your players, you know, your guys in your league that are paid millions of dollars to play the sport, and they're going after these guys who, nothing for nothing, you know, especially in the MLB nowadays, these guys have so much to worry about with the pitch clock and what's a strike, what's not a strike, and all these, you know, convoluted rules now that they're throwing into the game, you know, the pickoff rule. I can go on, but you're taking all this money in, and then you have guys that are playing the sport that people are betting on, and then they're saying, not that it's rigged, but, you know, oh, this is
that it's an incorrect call?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
I mean, just let it go.
Well, you know, listen, I agree with that. I don't know about the, I'm not sure what that has to do with DraftKings and FanDuel, but I get your point on just let it go. And it's obnoxious. I mean, it's no self-accountability either. Like, it's just,
no,
it's such an easy thing to pawn off on, hey, we got a bad call here. And sometimes there are bad calls, but it's just.
And I don't think there are bad calls. I get that, but there's a time and a place, and it's the same repeat offenders, it seems like. LeBron just can't keep his mouth shut whenever a call doesn't go his way. I just don't understand these guys. Like, it doesn't make them look good. It makes the league look like crap. The two-minute report's the dumbest thing the NBA's ever done. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It with the two-minute report, it does make them look bad, and it gives guys reason to complain. It also at least lets you know what the calls were supposed to be on controversial calls. And I'm sure the Sixers fans are going to be waiting around for the two-minute report on last night's game. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the it's everyone. It's everyone. And you know what's funny, too, because I was killing Maxey for being someone who on the floor complains about everything. I mean, he's like Dustin Pedroia. He complains about everything. He's never taken a shot without being fouled. He's never driven to the basket without being fouled. He's never actually fouled anybody. He complains on everything. And yet he's the guy in the postgame taking accountability and saying, I got to do a better job. That's not. Embiid didn't say I got to do a better job. Coach didn't say they got to do a better job. They complained. Oh, they didn't see my timeout. I'm not sure what he was looking at. Oh, the referees, it's unacceptable. The referees got to call a foul there. There was no blatant foul to be called there. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Dan? How was your weekend?
Good, buddy. It was good. How was yours?
I was all right. I heard a piece of you yesterday, and I heard the excitement in your voice. I couldn't really call in or nothing like that. I had to leave it alone.
Okay.
And then I wanted to talk a little bit about what you just said with LeBron, and I wanted to talk some of the Knicks and a little piece of Yankees if I can. That LeBron stuff, that's just him looking for something to back up his cause. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that he even cares about the Sixers, but he got a gripe, and anything that he can say to make it seem like it's an epidemic and it's not just happening to him is what he's going to say. You know what I mean? You got to let that go. And then even Embiid, like, what else you want him to say? You know, he got to try to – I mean, he could have used other words, like, we still got a chance in this or whatever it is like that. But right now he's talking to his team and to the rest of Philly. I don't care what he got to say.
Well,
matter.
I mean, yeah, but it's also not – I mean, Val, what do I want him to say? I don't expect him to say we're going to win the series. That's guarantees aren't very common. But he doesn't have to say we're going to win the series.
I'm not even trying
we're
to
the
judge
better
whether,
team.
Whether
we're
going
to win the series? That's not.
Yeah,
we got to do a better
rational.
Job.
It's
that,
not.
You know,
it's not. But you know, real quick on the Yankees, and then I'll get back to that Knicks stuff. Yeah, tomorrow we got to get in there and beat them up. That bullpen that they have, everybody's coming out there throwing 103 with pinpoint precision. That is a problem.
Yeah,
we got to get it early before they get to the bullpen. But to get back to the current events, yo, with what's coming up right now, this is what scares me a little bit, and I'm not afraid. You know what I'm saying? I told you how I feel already. We just walking up the Joker steps right now, and we're looking at what's in front of us and how we get around it. We got to get one of the next two games out of what happens when we go to Philly. But the real determination behind that is going to come down to a couple of things. One, Tibbs is going to have a couple of days to sit down and look at the film from the last couple of games and make his adjustments. He made some nice ones in game one in game. He made some nice ones in last night's game as well, too. But Philly is also going to have a couple of days now to sit down and look at tape the same way we are and try to come back with their answers. And anybody who knows anything about the playoffs know you got to judge it every two games. You know what I'm saying? We got our two. Thankfully, we came out with both of them. Now we got to make the next adjustment. One of the adjustments is to try to figure out how we get Brunson going, because thankfully, in these first two games, whether it was just timely shooting or whether it was blowing them out or whatever, the other guys, the obvious thing that I told you was the thing we needed, we actually got. We bullied everybody else at the other spots besides the Brunson and besides the Embiid. And that whole Maxie just running in and out of the lane is because of how Embiid plays at the top like that, and it's leaving the key free. So that's one of the adjustments that we got to make. But we got to figure out how to get Brunson's action going. Because even when they tried the thing that I was telling you with McBride bringing the ball down, even when Brunson gets it, that, like, you know, one time Oubre is coming, another time it's a double. You could see it. Like, he's like a boxer who's trying to feel out the first few rounds, and he just can't figure out exactly how to get it. I know he will figure it out, but it's just a matter of time. So we just got to get one of them games, like I said. And the last thing I'm going to say, the last thing, is that we need, when this game starts, whether it's game three or game four, we can't get too far behind early, because the same thing, the way our role players play at home, it's the same way it's going to happen when we go to Philly. Their role players are going to play up, and they're going to do everything that they can to push the pedal as soon as the game starts and try to press us. So we got to make sure that we hang and like we could take that first tide and that first punch and be able to respond. So long as we could do that and we could get one of those two games, if we get both of them, it's a sweep, it's done. But as long as we can get one of the two games in Philly, we good. Have a good morning, Mac. Nice to talk to you again. I hope you had a good weekend. And let's keep it moving. I love your enthusiasm. I've been listening to you since between this game and the one from, oh, my God, like the way you came on yesterday. And I can hear it in your voice today. I was actually listening to the broadcast when it first came on. I was training somebody. So I had this kid shadowing me on my floor. And the guy heard you start the show with the yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on, and it was so, like, enthusiastic. He's looking at me like, who is this guy? I said, bro, he is a Knicks fan that is elated that we've won this game.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
Oh, thank you, Val.
Morning,
yeah,
Mac.
I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think just the two adjustments off the top of my head, the easy ones without, you know, breaking a real mental sweat for me, they got to figure out, you have to figure out a way to get Brunson going, and you have to try and slow down Maxey. I don't know if there's a way to slow down Embiid. It's just, you could be a little bit more physical with him, maybe. Really try and, you know, make him, not that you want to get him hurt, but just try and work him a little bit and make him use that knee and make him bang a little bit, but he's just so, he's so good. He's got the ability to shoot. He's so tough to defend. I think they've been doing a decent enough job on, you haven't let him go crazy, plus he's hobbled. You could do a little bit of better job on Embiid, but you have to do a much better job on Maxey. He gets to the basket at will. He's hitting these three-pointers. You got to get in his face. You got to slow Maxey down. Brunson's got to do better, and you got to figure out a way to slow down Maxey. Now, you're right. Maybe in their building, Maxey does less because he's going to allow his role players to do more, who are going to be a little bit more comfortable. But that's the game plan, is really get Brunson going, slow down Maxey, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep winning the rebound battle. You know, early on, I think they lost. I heard on the broadcast, I think they lost the actual rebounding in the first half. Let me see what the final total was on rebounds. It wasn't as dramatic. It couldn't have been as dramatic as game one, where it was 55-33. The Sixers got 44 rebounds. So they're up 11 rebounds from the other game. And the Knicks got 46. So they did win the rebound battle by 2 as opposed to 22 in game one. So, I mean, that's a telling stat because they had this game won. Let's be fair. They had this game won. And, you know, let's mention something else, too, that I heard. I was driving home yesterday listening to the morning show, and they're open. And it was 2 days ago. No, had to be yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. Losing my mind. Yes. The Nick game was 2 days ago, but we didn't come on Monday. We don't do shows on Sunday. So it was yesterday. They were talking about the Knicks. And Boomer was just flabbergasted that Achiuwa hasn't seen any time. And again, Achiuwa, no minutes in this game. The bench is, it is a strict 8-man rotation right now. It is Bogdanovich, Robinson, McBride. Achiuwa, who's been good for this team, and who I thought could be someone you could get in there and try and, I don't know if he would be very successful guarding Embiid, but someone who's been really good for them, he hasn't been in the rotation at all. He hasn't played in either of these two games. And I don't know what that means necessarily, but I just found it funny thinking about Boomer going nuts about it in the open yesterday. And again, no Achiuwa. But when you get to, I guess just the role players made me think of it. Because, you know, Batum played 33 minutes in this game. He took 5 shots, 4 of them were 3-pointers. He hit 2 for 6 points. Reed played 9 minutes. And he'll play 15. The bench took a total of 9 shots. And they scored 10 points, to where the Knicks bench took 18 shots and scored 16 points. So it wasn't as dramatic a difference as game one was. Game one was really all about the bench. Game two, every single starter was in double-digit points. Ananobi had 10. Hartenstein had 14, and that, you know, and again, another reason why I think Hartenstein, you could argue, is the player of the game. Yes, it's that rebound. Yes, it's that block shot. At times, I mean, he got that little floater in the middle of the paint a couple of different times, and he got a great pass and a dunk from Brunson. I mean, Hartenstein's offense, I mean, that's where you get, it's a mixed match. Mitchell Robinson plays a better brand of defense on Embiid, but he doesn't give you the offense Hartenstein does. He's not the passer Hartenstein is. He doesn't really have any offensive. I mean, Hartenstein's 7-for-8 in this game. Mitchell Robinson doesn't take a shot in 18 minutes. But, yeah, the role players is going to be different. Going into Philadelphia, you are going to get a better performance from the bench and the role players of the Sixers. Embiid and Maxey are going to be Embiid and Maxey, but they've done really nothing In these two games, the bench has done the role players have done absolutely nothing. Oubre, after talking a little bit, scores 4 points in this game. Lowry was better in game one. He does hit 2 of 5 from three, scores 8 points in this game. Harris is 4 of 11, scores 10 points in the game. Like, they haven't done much. They're going to be better in Philadelphia. The guy who has to raise his game is Brunson. Ben in Princeton, New Jersey. What's up, Ben?
Hey, good morning, Matt.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, my God. If you can hear my voice, the greatest game I've ever been to. Took my son the first time. Listen, tremendous. But I want to make out a point to you, if you could bear with me.
Yeah, it sounds like you were at the game. What's up?
Oh my God. Listen, electric. That Garden, I never heard that Garden like that. When DiVincenzo hit that shot, unbelievable. Let me say this, Mac. And when you go to the break, I want you to look up this stat.
When I go to the what?
When you go to the break, or I have your
okay,
break. Look up
okay,
this
I got
stat.
You. Yeah.
Right? When OG, and I want to say a couple things, please. When OG was guarding Maxi, especially after halftime, Maxi came into the third quarter, entering the third quarter with 20 points. OG stuck with him for the entire third quarter until he went to the bench. Maxi didn't score another point until the fourth. When OG went out, Maxi came back in, and he just started cooking again. We have to keep OG on Maxi. We're not going to stop him from scoring, but we cannot have him go for 35 and Embiid go for 30-plus. We cannot do that. It gives me
I definitely remember him not scoring a lot of points out of the half. He got hot early, and then obviously at the end of the game. And there was a time where Maxi wasn't hurting them as badly. But I remember more so in game one, I actually thought Deuce McBride kept up with him better than OG did in game one. So I don't know if that's the answer. I understand your point. They can't allow they can't allow Maxi to score 35 points. I agree. I don't know if just putting Ananobi on him either does that or is the best way to go about doing it.
Well,
because I like his ability to guard everybody. Like, I like the idea. One, he's got the his closeout ability if you're going to play a zone, or even if you want to throw him around a little bit, put him on Embiid first. Like, I just like his. I don't know if he's fast enough to just shut down Maxi. Where okay, let's take Maxi out of the game and put OG on him. I just don't know.
But listen to this though, right? Why is OG guarding Tobias Harris, and at one point he was even guarding Lowry? For what reason? Listen, if I'm going to get beat by Tobias Harris, which he is capable to get hot, I'm not going to say that, but he is struggling big time. I'm not putting my best wing defender on Tobias Harris or Kyle Lowry. I just can't afford that. And this guy's cooking me for 30 plus. And then I want to make my next point about Brunson.
Yeah, go ahead. I understand your point. I just don't know. Like, I'm trying to think back to the game. I remember in game one, I don't think he shut down Brunson and Maxi. In fact, I think McBride did a better job on him. But I got to look back and watch game two and see that. But it's a fair point. You got to come up with a strategy to shut down Maxi. And if you feel putting OG on him does that best, then I'm not opposed to it. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So now getting to Brunson. And let me say this, Matt, as you spoke a couple of times, I'm a 47-year Knicks fan. Now, I love Brunson. I love Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, they're double and triple teaming Brunson, right? And Brunson is kind of forcing the issue somewhat. He did get that pick and roll going with somewhat in the second half with
Hartenstein. Yeah.
Right, and had that little Hartenstein had that little floater, which you just stated,
yeah.
Right? But Brunson is taking some bad shots.
He has.
And I'm gonna just say this because this a lot of people are gonna get offended by this, but for all the people that think the Knicks are better off without Julius Randle, look how stagnant our offense looks.
No, there's no doubt. There's absolutely Ben. Thank you for the call. There's no doubt. I think it's been two games, so I don't want to be too demonstrative with this, but I don't think there's a doubt. Watching this team, and still, I think they can. I think they're going to win the series, and I think they have an excellent chance to win the next one. But watching these two games, especially with Brunson struggling, there is no doubt in my mind this team would be better if Julius Randle were on it. There's no doubt. If Julius Randle never got hurt, this team would be far better off right now. Now, again, if he came back from the injury and wasn't himself, I don't know. But if he were here, healthy and fine and at the top of his game, there's no doubt they need that secondary score and someone who can try to attack the basket and do different things than just, you know, running it through Brunson. There's just no doubt. They would be better off. I think watching these two games has put that to bed in my mind. And it's not that I've necessarily focused on it or thought about it, but when I think of what Randle brings, and especially with what Brunson has done here in the first two games, there's no doubt. They would clearly be better off with Randle. I can't imagine making the counter offer watching these two games. Because the argument is Brunson was allowed to emerge. Brunson was allowed to emerge. The offense should never run through anybody else. Julius needs the ball too much. He's been bad in the postseason a little bit. But mainly, the offense has worked better because Jalen Brunson's been allowed to blossom like a flower. And right now, the petals are falling off the first two games, and it'd be nice to have Julius Randle there to pick him up. I mean, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. These two games have shown to me that the argument and the case to be made that they're better off without Randle, at least for this series, I'll keep an open mind to next series, but for this series, they desperately need it. While Brunson is not hitting his shots, while Brunson is struggling, they could desperately use Julius Randle.